So standing up here, you have this opportunity to see everybody who's coming in. And as I'm coming in here, I can see, and as I look along the crowd, that we are a little excited and a little disjointed. And that we're a little distracted. And so I would admonish you that you take a moment to ask the Lord to help you gather your thoughts, that we could receive the message that our brother's going to bring. And so with that, I'm going to leave the service to our brother, Apostle Joel Yates.
It's very good to see each of you here today. Those of you that are live streaming, I can't see you, but I'm grateful that we have an opportunity today to come to the house of the Lord. As we come today, this isn't my norm. I a lot of times put things up on here for you to look at and read. Going to go back to old school today. Spent some time as I was thinking and praying about what to do. I thought it was, I had something that kept coming to my mind, and I just was struggling with what to do with it. How to present it, and because the subject matter is huge. If I just said to you, I'm going to preach about faith, I don't know if you've looked at how often it's mentioned in Scripture, but you know, it's so basic. I thought, you know, I kept going through all these scriptures, and so I went to one of these books that I had with sermons. Of sermons that I've done in times past, and to one that I haven't done here, and I looked it over and went to bed and prayed about it and got up this morning, and that I came back to faith. That's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about a certain aspect, I want to really kind of hit it today, and there will be other aspects I talk about, but this is such a broad subject. But as I came in today, I was interested in some statements, which I'll mention as we go along, and it confirmed what had been put in my heart. I'm going to begin in Romans chapter 1, and I'm going to read verses 16 and 17. A picture that to me is such a vital picture. And Paul, as he's writing to those in Rome, and he talked about preaching the gospel to him, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." First thing I want to mention is looking at this first verse, the gospel of Christ is the power of God to salvation. It has in it the power to be delivered. And there's several things we want to be delivered from, but we're going to talk about those things as we go along. And it is given to, and you know, it's for those that believe. The gospel is something that must be believed. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. This is really the point. You know, as I travel throughout my field and as I get to a lot of places and I talk to people, there's so many Christians that are struggling with the basic, with faith. And you know, as I read this scripture, you know, in the gospel, in verse 17, in the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed. And this is something that is so important. It gives us this picture, this very picture. I talked about it Wednesday night as we talked about, you know, our belief in God. It's what anchors a Christian. The nature of God in Himself, the righteousness of God is seen in the Word of God and in the Gospel. And it's in that that reveals, it's the, to those things that we believe, they're given to us from faith to faith. These are the things that we can pass along and that we do pass along, but we are called to live by faith. And my topic today is living and walking by faith, because I believe there these things, it's not just about what I think. It's a lifestyle. And, you know, I was looking at, although in this, you know, there's often those that, believe and have made mention. Sometimes I hear, well, once you have faith, you know, you can never fall. But I want to turn to first the in Mosiah chapter 1, and I want to read one verse. It's found on page 208, or it's Mosiah chapter 1, verse 7, if you don't. Can't follow along in this particular scripture. But here it talks about King Benjamin had three sons, and it talks about how he was teaching them. It goes back to Lehi leaving Jerusalem, and when he first went out in the wilderness where the Lord took him, he had no record of the Word of God. And it was so important that he went back and he got those things. And the Lord told him to send his sons back to get the plates of brass that had the Word of God in it. And, of course, that Word of God then was the Law of Moses. But this is what they had. But in verse 7, you know, several generations later, there's a statement made by Mosiah who's writing, and it says, speaking of King Benjamin talking to his sons, I would say unto you, my sons, were it not for these things which have been kept and preserved by the hand of God, that we might read and understand of his mysteries and have his commandments always before our eyes, that even our fathers would have dwindled in unbelief. This thought of our faith, you know what, this word dwindled has been just bothering my mind. Because it's something that's happening. See, brothers and sisters, dwindling in faith. How does this happen? I find, and I have found in my travels, that more and more, I find a lot of my time calling people back to faith. Back to faith in God. I believe one of the first ways that it happens is we get unfamiliar with the Word. And the thing that has been preserved. And you know, if you don't take some time in your life to appreciate what God has done, the gospel declares Him, declares Jesus Christ to you, the hope, the things of God that He's promised. Let's look at a couple things. I'm not going to turn to them, but some of them you know. Matthew chapter 1, one of those promises in the Word that was preserved for us that we could have faith. Well, I'm going to back up. The gospel teaches us about the fall of man, how death came and into the world because of sin. It tells us these things. It also taught us to hope through Christ and His sacrifice to bring us back from death. The gospel is what gives hope back, if you believe. In Matthew chapter 1, the promise of Christ, as was spoken to Joseph as he questioned his relationship with Mary, who was already pregnant, and he knew it wasn't his son or his child. And he was told by an angel, "She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." This promise that's found in the Word of God, that we had a God that loved us enough to come back, to deliver his people from their sins. We know that the gospel tells us that sin is death. Sin is death. In John 3, verses 14 and 17, it was preached last weekend, you know, God so loved the world. We have this picture in the Word of God that He sent His only Son. These things that call us to faith, to hope in this God. I want to turn to one that is one of those scriptures that, that I love. I love the message. It's found in Lamentations chapter 3. And we know, or I hope you know, that Lamentations was written by Jeremiah. It directly follows the book of Jeremiah. This was a statement about man, our nature, sin, how God relates to it. And it's one of those things that if you don't take time and get in the Word, you're not always encouraged. As we see things, we're bothered by things. And yet, here Jeremiah watched the people of Israel, because of their sins, he watched the city of Jerusalem destroyed. He's writing this after that destruction. They were carried away for 70 years captive to Babylon. And he was crying over the loss of the people of the house of Israel as they were taken. But he says this in verse 21 of chapter 3, "But this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silent, because he hath borne it upon him. He putteth his mouth in the dust, if so there may be hope. He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him. He is filled with reproach, for the Lord will not cast off forever. But though he cause grief, yet he will have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men, to crush under his feet all the prisoners of the earth, to turn aside the right of a man before the face of the Most High, to subvert a man in his cause, the Lord approveth not. Who is he that saith, it cometh to pass when the Lord commandeth it not? Out of the mouth of the Most High proceedeth not evil and good. Wherefore doth a living man complain, a man for the punishment of his sins? Let us search and try our ways, and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. We have transgressed and have rebelled. Thou hast not pardoned." You know, as we go through this picture of a God, He doesn't try to smash us under His feet. He doesn't delight in destroying people. We have a God that by His nature, He loves us. He gives mercy. This is where our faith, our hope are anchored, in a God such as this. These things that are declared in the gospel of Jesus Christ that's given for you and I. This very thing that gives hope to the children of men in a time where we often find people in this world are hopeless, and sometimes we are because of the journey of life. So let's consider this journey. I believe faith is a journey. All men first are invited to believe in Christ and to test the Word of God for themselves. We have read this many times. I'm not going to read it today. But how often the Lord has given the invitation for you to come. All men, come. Come and believe. You know, in our faith, as you begin, it's tested in the most basic promises. I'm going to read one of the first promises that He gave us the test. So living in faith as a Christian requires a knowledge and application of the gospel. This requires faith to grow as we grow in our knowledge of the Lord. So I'm going to look at a basic principle. It's found in Matthew chapter 6. And most of you, I hope all of you have heard this. If not, you need to get in the Word of God more often. But we find in Matthew chapter 6, verses 24, I'm going to begin in verse 24. Here Jesus speaking says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon," or money. You can't serve God and money, and there's something that you can at least partially obtain by either one of those. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are they not much better than they? You know, yesterday I overseeded my yard, and I got all those new grass seeds out there, and there's nothing that bothers me more than having a whole yard full of birds. And I'm sitting there reading, and I'm like, I got to let them eat. God provided for, He provides for everything. He even provides for the birds. And He reminds us of the most simple things in life. And he makes these statements. I'm going to move to another verse. Speaking of the grass, wherefore if God so clothed the grass of the field, verse 30, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, the most basic principle of the gospel is that we have a God that can provide for every need of life. And He tells us, don't stress over it. And yet, I still see sometimes this most basic principle we stress over. That we have a God that promised He can take care of the basic needs of life. I love what the Lord did in Mark chapter 6. He begins sending out His apostles, verses 7 to 10. And it says, and He called unto Him the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits, and commanded that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, but be shod with sandals, and not put on two coats. And He saith unto them, in whatsoever place ye enter into the house, there abide till ye depart from that place. Don't go door to door. I'm going to send you. You're going to go. I don't want you to take anything with you. The very thing that He began to teach in this principle of faith, the most basic principle, that we have a God that's able to provide all that we need. If we go to Luke chapter 22, He makes a statement, or He asks the question of these of the 12. And in verse 35 of Luke 22, earlier in verse 31, He talked to Peter, and He said, Satan desired to have Him. And He says, but I prayed for you that your faith won't fail. That your faith won't fail. And when you're converted, strengthen your brethren. And then, you know, Peter in his encouragement by the Lord praying for him says, you know, I'm going to go with you to death. And I won't deny you. In verse 35, He said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said nothing. You know, everywhere they went, everything was taken care of. We find the same thing in the 10th chapter of Luke, that the 70, He called 70 others and He sent them out. He told them the same thing. And He finishes in verse 7 by saying, and in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. I'm going to provide for you. And so He did. Later, you know, after He tested them and He showed them, listen, I got you. I can provide the most basic principle. And it was the beginning of these things that He began to show them to grow their faith, to help them grow, and to begin living a life of faith as the gospel provides these promises. Later He told them, next time you go, now I want you to take whatever you have. He would still provide other things. But He needed to give them the test. as we went through, as we go through the New Testament, we see how the Lord began to show him things. In Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 to 27, we find the story where they were crossing the Sea of Galilee, and the winds came up, and Christ was tired. He fell asleep in the boat, and all of a sudden there was a huge storm, and the boat was being tossed about, and they were scared. The disciples got scared, and they woke him up. And he spoke a word, and the storm calmed. And he says, I'm going to read verses 24 to 26. Behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. We know that afterwards, you know, they marveled. You know, this guy has the ability to even deal with the sea. Why are you fearful? A question of faith. Why are you fearful about life? Why are you fearful about trouble? Why are you fearful about peril? When you have a God that can calm the sea, a question of faith. The Lord called them, you know, again, He's teaching them, He's taking them on a journey of faith. In Matthew chapter 14, we know the story about Christ coming to the disciples who were in the boat. He walked out on the water, and they saw Him, and they thought He was another spirit, and they were pretty concerned, and Peter says, well, and he identified himself, you know. Peter says, if it's you, bid me come. And he said, come. Peter got out of the boat. We know this story. You know, how much faith did it take to do that? Come. And he began to walk on the water until he saw the waves, and he saw how large they were, you know, and he began to go down, and he said, Lord, save me. And he said, why did you doubt, O ye of little faith? Grow your faith. And he helped him up, and he brought him into the boat. These things required faith. In the 14th chapter, you know, I'm just giving you this overview. So many things we could talk about, but I want you to see how the Lord was teaching them greater things and greater things, showing them these greater things. Just as I read earlier in Luke 22, when he said, you know, didn't you get the basic things? But, you know, still, he called them to faith when they were struggling with standing for Christ. In John chapter 14, he goes on and tells them, he says, in verses 10 to 13, believest thou that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the work's sake. They saw all these mighty works, and he called them to believe. I can do all these things. I can do all these things. You've watched me do them. And he calls them to belief, to faith. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You know, there was this promise, one of those promises that faith that he had would grow. And it would be done and used by his servants that would do other things even that they didn't see him personally do because of faith. And so he began in the New Testament, we see this journey of faith. But I don't think that journey is complete. And I want to talk about growing in our faith, learning how to live and to walk in faith. In Moroni chapter 7, it was kind of funny as I sat in Sunday school today that Stephen, as he was teaching, he said, he was talking about chapter 7 of Moroni. And he said, if someone said to me to preach today, I would use Moroni chapter 7. And little did he know that I'm preaching today, and I had intended to use Moroni chapter 7. Because this is a very valuable statement about faith. It's on page 260 or 765 if you have a book like mine, or it's Moroni chapter 7, verses 18 to 28. And here, Moroni had been teaching about knowing the difference between good and evil. And in verse 18, he says, "Wherefore I beseech of you, brethren, that you should search diligently in the light of Christ, that you may know good from evil. And if you will lay hold upon every good thing and condemn it not, ye certainly will be a child of Christ." And now, my brethren, how is it possible that you can lay hold upon every good thing? And now I come to that faith of which I would speak, and I tell you the way whereby you may lay hold on every good thing. Faith is how we lay hold on good things. And so, you know, sometimes in our world, we hear faith used all the time as this concept of, well, just believe, but it's the concept of doing something. You and I get to lay hold on the good things that we find in the gospel. We do this with our faith. "For behold, God knoweth all things, being from everlasting to everlasting. Behold, he sent angels to minister unto the children of men, to manifest concerning the coming of Christ, and in Christ there should come every good thing. Christ and God also declared unto the prophets by his mouth that Christ should come. And behold, there were divers ways that he did manifest things unto the children of men, which were good. And all things which are good cometh of Christ, otherwise men were fallen. And there could no thing come unto them. Wherefore, by the ministering of angels, and by every word which proceedeth forth out of the mouth of God, men begin to exercise faith in Christ. And thus by faith they did lay hold upon every good thing, and thus it was until the coming of Christ. And after that he came, men also were saved by faith in his name, and by faith they become the sons of God. And assuredly, as Christ liveth, he spake these words unto our fathers, saying, Whatsoever thing ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is good, in faith believing, that shall ye receive. Behold, it shall be done unto you. And now, my beloved brethren, hath miracles ceased, because that Christ hath ascended into heaven and sat down on the right hand of God, to claim of the Father his rights of mercy, which he hath upon the children of men? For he hath answered the ends of the law, and he claimeth all those that have faith in him. And they that have faith in him will cleave unto every good thing. Wherefore he advocateth the cause of the children of men, and he dwelleth eternally in the heavens. He advocateth our cause. Those that have faith will cleave to him to do every good thing. You know, I know if you're like me, when I think of the term faith, I'm always thinking of the things that were done by faith, the miracles and these things that we want to see more of. These were an outgrowth of faith. And yet, I believe those things come after some of the most basic elements of our faith are complete. We begin to grow in that faith. And then we begin to see, you know, if we don't doubt, we begin to see those miracles, those things which are promised in the Scripture. But I want to talk about getting to that point, because I believe this first part is learning how to grab hold of, how to cleave to the good things that God has given to us. It begins by having faith in these promises and then by doing the works. I want to read in Ephesians 6. You know, the scripture about the armor of God, and the whole scripture is from verse 12, Ephesians 6, 12 to 18, where he talks about putting on the armor of God. And one of those pieces of armor was faith. In verse 16, he says, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." Those flaming arrows, those things, the temptations which desire to cause us to sin. It's by our faith that we are able to quench those things, to put them out. You know, I pondered this thought so often, you know, what happens if we're of little faith? I was looking earlier for some pictures, you know, I saw some. There's the Romans had, you know, in their armor, they had a shield that was pretty tall. And they, you know, that was one of the a premier piece of their weaponry, really. They were able to protect themselves from arrows. And I mean, they got deals that talk about how they've trained and how they were prepared. You can rain arrows down on them all day long. Their shields were big enough to cover them in the front. It was big enough to cover over the top of their head. What if your faith is small? Satan doesn't just play by your and my rules. He doesn't play fair. It's not like he just sends one temptation at you at a time. It isn't like that. He comes at you with all he has. If there's a way to injure or wound you, he's going to do it. And we need a stronger faith to resist. This principle is something that Christ talked about. I'm going to read in Luke chapter 17. And in Luke chapter 17, the Lord begins this chapter by talking to his disciples about offenses. The offenses in the world, you know, all these horrible things that are being committed, that you and I live in a world and this is the way it is. It says in verse 1, he said unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. We see all these atrocities to the innocent in our life. And the Lord was talking to his disciples in that time. And then he says this to them, take heed to yourselves. First statement, look at yourself here. Be very careful with what I'm about to tell you. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. How can we do that? It takes faith to forgive. Take heed to yourselves. You know, this picture to me of this weapon of a shield, the shield of faith, something we must grow, something that we must be strengthened in. We need to have our faith increased. You know, they acknowledge this difficulty, this inability at times. You know, I have this picture, you know, if he offend thee seven times in the same day, this guy's just messing with me. He doesn't deserve my forgiveness. And yet, this picture of the Lord comes up over and over again. Because it's really the picture of a lifetime, isn't it? It may not be this week, but somewhere in our relationship, if we're close enough, I'm going to do something or say something that I shouldn't have. What are you going to do with it? You're going to tell your friends? Make the problem worse? You're going to grab a promise. What is the promise about forgiveness? If we forgive, God is faithful to forgive us. And so what happens when we don't forgive? When we don't forgive, he doesn't forgive. And so, do you believe that he forgives? Do you believe that if you're merciful, he shows mercy? Do you and are you able to do the hard thing? Even with the closest, this is, you know, to me, the closest relationships are the ones that this comes up to all the time. relationships in the church. Sometimes we say things, sometimes we do things that we shouldn't. It wasn't well thought out. Sometimes we may be completely wrong in the way we did it, or we did it, we thought it was a good reason, but it wasn't. And it says rebuke them. What does that mean? Admonish them. Tell them why what they did was wrong. We have been told by the Lord these things, and they require faith, walking in faith. Can you go when someone's offended you to keep from spreading it around? Can you just go to them? Tell them. Visit with them in faith, because we do have a God that can change hearts. And so he tells them this, and they say, you know, Lord, increase our faith. But I'm not done, because he goes on here. But they acknowledge we need this increase. We can be tempted by things, and our faith is a shield. Our faith says what God said is right. The principle is absolutely correct. It is the way to handle it, unlike what the world says. Go tell somebody else, get their counsel. So pretty soon we get it all spread around instead of dealing with it. Our faith, living in faith, walking in faith as a Christian, we believe this principle of God. And we go and we deal with it and we forgive our brother or our sister. And then he says, and so they said, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as the grain of a mustard seed, ye might say to this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Doesn't take a lot of faith. So my kids one time got me I have a mustard seed framed. Can you see the speck? Pretty small. If that's all it takes to pluck up a tree and have it planted in the sea when you order it, why is it so hard to block temptation? Why do these things seem so difficult? But he wasn't done. He went on. How do we increase our faith? And here the Lord goes on, you know, first, you need to grow your faith. This little seed right here, if you have even that, you can do mighty things. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup and gird myself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things which were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. You know, this picture, I know you've heard my dad tell the story of one of the apostles several years ago that you know, someone said, increase your labor. Well, that is what the Lord said. You know, when we increase our faith, we have to have this picture. It's a picture of humility about what you and I are. Faith isn't just some tag that, you know, it's not something that you can check mark the box and well, I got this little thing in my mind that says I believe. It's a life. It's a life of service to a king. It's not one that says, well, because I believe, he's going to come and feed me. It's a life that says, you and I, in our service, how does our faith grow? We serve our king. We serve our king, and we are still unprofitable servants. We have a job to do. And so what is my expectation? You know, I serve the king. And when I'm done with that task, there's going to be another. And sometimes what challenges our faith is that we're free to sit at home and please ourselves. On Tuesday, on Thursday, on Friday, do you ask the question of the great King, what can I do for you? how can I help your kingdom? Does it matter if you're a man or woman, if you're a minister? No. You know, as you take time to get in the Word of God, to renew that faith, to renew your mind, this picture of growing faith, of living, walking faith, is one of service. Your service, my service to the King. And it doesn't matter whether you have a job in the local church, you have a job as a Christian to walk in this world in faith, to do the work of the King. Do you ask the Lord? Are you asking the Lord for those opportunities? Are you taking opportunity? And what does it take? Are you getting back in the Word, encouraging yourself in the faith? The Word always gives us things, extra things to do. And so here's this picture, you know, if you want your faith increased, you have to be about it. You have to be about the business of the Lord, doing what you can. And there's so many options today. You know, yesterday I had this impression. There was a sister and her son that we went and visited. Jerry and I went and visited on our last trip. Hadn't heard from them in a while. I just sent a text, you know, hey, been thinking about you and praying for you. What's going on? But I felt that leading. I was looking for the opportunity. That was so simple. You know, I got a text back later, you know. We've been praying. We've been struggling, you know. The other day, you know, the other night during the service, when I was teaching the apologetics class, my phone, which was muted, kept buzzing, and got out of the service, and there was a message from the person, did I do something wrong? Joel, why didn't you answer? You know. And I had an opportunity to spend an hour and a half after visiting with somebody. I didn't call them up looking for it. The Lord provided that opportunity. But I was looking for the opportunity. We have, if we're going to grow in our faith, if we want God to do those other things, are we doing the things that He asks us to do in humility? As we look at those things, Hebrews tells us that God is the author and the finisher of our faith. We read it today in Sunday school. He's the completer. He's the one that, you know, in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, he talks about Him, you know, being offered for you and I with witnesses, that He can grow our faith. He can complete it. Our journey is just beginning. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, he talks about some of those things that has affected faith. For this one, it's renewing your mind. How much time do you take in a week in your life to renew your mind? To know the Scriptures, to pray when you feel especially low and weak. To encourage somebody else. I find that encouraging somebody else, serving somebody else, is a strength to us. And so why? You know, knowing the Scriptures and beginning to put our hands on it, to live it, is so important. I want to turn to Hebrews chapter 5. In Hebrews chapter 5 and 6, of course, men are the ones that put the chapter breaks in there. But in Hebrews chapter 5, there's this part of our growth of walking and living in our faith. And it says this. In verse 12 to 14, For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth the word, that useth milk, is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. You know, this is the beginning of faith, as we begin to learn to use God's word. We begin to see, just like some of those basics, hey, we got a God that actually will take care of us when we put our faith in Him. He's always provided. We begin to take these steps But he wants us to develop more skill. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Remember what we were told before? By faith we lay hold on the good things. We discern it by the use of the Scriptures, how we use them, by holding to the promises when you don't feel like it. These things are so important for us, that we do these things. In chapter 6, he talks about, you know, going on past the basic principles of the gospel. And in verse 1, therefore, leaving the principles of the gospel of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Let's go on, grow in your faith, learn to walk in your faith. He goes on talking about faith through this chapter and some of the things that are so important. I want to talk about verse 9. I'm going to read in verse 9 through 12. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Remember what he said when they asked him about increase our faith? He talked about this work and this labor of love. Why do we do it? There's this gigantic connection between faith, hope, and love. It's always been there. They can't exist independently without the other. They all work together. But why do we have faith? We love our God because He loved us. And it says, He does not forget your work and your labor. You know, when you have someone that does things and they do those extra things and they want to please you, man, how does that make you feel? Do you not want to respond to their good when you hear of something? I remember people that went the extra mile to show me different things. You know, when something comes up and I have an opportunity to do something for them, I'm quick to remember those things that they did. And here the Lord is the same. He does these things for you and I as we labor, as we serve. He's quick to give us back, to help us as we grow. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. We can't inherit faith through slothfulness. There is no growth. They're stagnant. You get stagnant. You begin to dwindle. And you begin to disbelieve some of the most basic principles. We can't afford to be slothful in our efforts to serve the Lord, to serve and minister to His people, to one another, to the person, you know. This last week there was the lady that pulled some fruit off of my tree. You know, Adam got to see her pull fruit off of my tree because she was hungry and took a bite and didn't like it because it's not ripe, you know. And he told me, you know, the Lord put on his heart, you know. He said something to her about wasting it, you know. Lord put on his heart, well, what are you supposed to do? What does your faith require? You know, and he called her back, had compassion. This is what living faith does. This is how we serve. And it doesn't have to just be brothers and sisters of the church. There's a statement in one of my pages didn't print. So that's good for you, right? There's a statement that talks about, and it's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want to finish with this concept. And in this concept, there's a story of something that requires the way, the great promise that you and I, the overall piece of our faith. Faith has so many compartmental places, you know. There's great faith, mighty faith to do miracles. There's all these things. But there's this overall picture that we have to learn to walk in. And it's what should get us up at the beginning of every day with hope, looking for the next day. And it says, I'm going to begin in chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. You know, if today you and I are called to die, you and I have something that's eternal. It's living. And it was made without the hands of men. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we are in this tabernacle, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us this selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we be at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which hath been done, whether it be good or evil. You know, this picture I have is the case of two thoughts. We can stand before God and all mankind naked. Because he says every secret work will be revealed. Or we can stand clothed. This is really the focus of our faith. To be ready to stand clothed. We've been given the earnest of the Spirit. We've been given the Spirit of God to assure us of what? That when you and I are faithful to humble ourselves and repent, that He actually cleanses us from our sins. That we don't have to appear before His judgment seat naked before the world. As He goes through the list, and He's talking about my life, will He have not much to say? Or will all these horrible things that I wouldn't want any of you to know be coming out in that conversation? We are told that Christ was the captain of our salvation, that He walked, that He died, that He lived, that He understood our sins, that we could come to Him and He would know how to succor us. He would know what we needed if we come to Him in our temptations and in our sins so that we can be delivered from these things. What is your faith? Do you have confidence? In Revelation chapter 3, He gives us this invitation. The invitation which I talked about earlier, and I'm going to read in verse 18. He says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. You know, he was giving correction to the church in our day. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come to him and will sup with him, and he with me. We have this promise that we can be clothed in white. In the 19th chapter of Revelation, John saw that great view of the church assembled and the people of his church, the Lamb of God, his bride. And I believe this picture was this picture was for, you know, those from all time. You know, in verses 7 and 8, let us be glad and rejoice, give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife hath made herself ready. To her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. You and I have an opportunity to stand, to walk in faith. I don't have to fear the future. One of the things that says in Hebrews chapter 2 is that mankind walked before Christ came with this fear of death, a fear of death. But we read in 2 Corinthians, you know, we don't have to walk in that fear any longer. We can know that we are clothed with the robes of righteousness by our Savior and by His blood. We are called to walk by faith. We don't walk by sight. I don't have to see it to know what He has promised. In Moroni chapter 7, I'm going to go back. As he talks about this faith on page 767, just a few verses. And he says this in verses 46 to 50. And how is it that you can attain unto faith, save ye shall have hope? And what is it that you shall hope for? Behold, I say unto you that you shall have hope through the atonement of Christ and the power of His resurrection to be raised unto life eternal, and this because of your faith in Him according to the promise. Wherefore, if a man have faith, he must needs have hope, for without faith there cannot be any hope. And again I say unto you that he cannot have faith and hope, save he shall be meek and lowly of heart. If so, his faith and hope are vain. For none is acceptable before God, save the meek and lowly of heart. And if the man be meek and lowly in heart, and confesseth by the power of the Holy Ghost that Jesus is the Christ, he must needs have charity. For if he have not charity, he is nothing. Wherefore, he must needs have charity. There's this piece that the Scriptures tell us, this thing that you and I are looking forward to as we walk in faith. We walk in this hope with a smile on our faith, on our face. You know, this is the kind of faith that he wants us to get to. The kind of faith that Peter had as he walked on his journey to Rome, knowing that it was there he would meet his end. You know, I've often thought about that statement. If you had your choice and someone said, if you go to this place, you're going to die. There's all kinds of reasons why someone may need to go to that place. What would you be thinking? Should I go? Do I stay put? I don't want to die. Paul was told when he went to Jerusalem he was going to be taken. He was going to be captured for the gospel. And he went anyway. Cost him his life. Peter, knowing what he walked into because of his faith, walked to Rome to share his faith at the cost of his life. This is the faith that God is calling us to. The one that we grow till we come to that part where it doesn't matter any longer. There is no fear. There is this hope. We have this confidence that we will be cleansed. There's a scripture that talks about our walk, and I want to finish with two more scriptures. I'm going to go first to 2 Nephi chapter 13, one that you and I know, but it's very common, and it's just verses 27 to 29, page 162 of 2 Nephi chapter 13. He says this, and I would ask my beloved brethren, if you've gotten in the straight and narrow path, I would ask if all is done. You got started in your faith. You got started through a relationship, a covenant relationship with Christ. And he says, behold, I say unto you, nay, for ye have not come thus far, save it were by the word of Christ with unshaken faith in Him, relying wholly upon Him, the merits of Him who is mighty to save. We got into this Christian walk because of our faith. Unshaken faith, that we actually have a living God who came and presented Himself to the children of men, live like us, for us, to deliver us. That other salvation, not deliverance from sin, but it is, but even beyond deliverance of sin, deliverance from a greater power and a second death. Wherefore you must press forward with steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men. That same connection, faith, hope, and love, they go together. We walk in faith because of our love for Jesus Christ. I'm going to end in Ether chapter 5 today. And just a few verses. I'm going to begin with verse 4. And I'm going to read verses 4 through 7. Wherefore, whoso believeth in God... I'm sorry, this is page 746 if you want to follow. Wherefore, whoso believeth in God might with a surety hope for a better world. Yea, even a place at the right hand of God, which hope cometh of faith, maketh an anchor to the souls of men, which would make them sure and steadfast, always abounding in good works, being led to glorify God. You know, when we know that we have a God that knows, and our efforts to serve Him are not in vain. He takes note of our efforts to be of service, to love Him, and to serve Him. He also takes note when we don't. But those, you know, when we are walking in our faith, we have an anchor. It anchors our souls. There's times that I walk around today and this word is missing. I meet people and I see brothers and sisters and people out in the world that are not anchored. They're not anchored in their faith. They need to grow. And it came to pass that Ether did prophesy great and marvelous things unto the people, which they did not believe, because they saw them not. And now I, Moroni, would speak somewhat concerning these things. I would show unto the world that faith is things which are hoped for and not seen. Wherefore dispute not, because ye see not, for ye receive no witness until after the trial of your faith. You know, the witness that God gave to those men of old, when He sent them out without person, script, to give them that basic understanding, you know, I want you to go, and they did what He said, and they went, but they had to do that first, and then their faith became real. They didn't lack anything, just as He told them they wouldn't. In all these things that we're called to believe, you must show your faith first, and then He verifies those things. And this is how faith works. I'm going to end in verses 28 and 29. And something that is so important for us to remember. I give unto men weakness, that they may be humble. And my grace is sufficient for all men that humble themselves before me. For if they humble themselves before me and have faith in me, then will I make weak things become strong unto them. You know, sometimes we get discouraged when we're struggling. Struggling with the same problems. Maybe it's the world. We see ourselves, we see our sins, and the Lord says, I gave men weakness. It is a journey, it is a process, and if you'll humble yourself. You know, what the apostles were asking the Lord in Luke when they said, you know, increase our faith, they were asking for that grace. The grace that's spoken of here that is given to the humble, grace sufficient for all of our needs. When we humble ourselves and we believe that He can make weak things become strong. He does this by His grace and His goodness to us. Behold, I will show unto the Gentiles their weakness, and I will show them that faith, hope, and charity bringeth unto me the fountain of all righteousness. We live, the just shall live by faith. The righteous shall live by faith. It's what we do. It's how we walk. It's that thing that's not just a check box in our mind that says, well, I believe. It's the one that has all those things behind it, those promises that I begin to do in my life, that you begin to do in your life as a Christian, striving to overcome sin, leaving these things with God, having a hope of the hereafter by constantly repenting. It's learning how to to deal correctly with brothers and sisters. This is walking in faith. When troubles come to us, and they are coming, they're coming to be even worse than they were, we need our faith. What I've found lately is so many in times of trouble are walking out there with an untested faith because they haven't been testing themselves against the Word of God. And they're weak. When we're weak, we make excuses for why. Why we can't. Why we shouldn't. And yet the Lord says we can. We can do anything through faith in Christ, is what Paul says. And so I hope that today, in some way, shape, or form, that you have been encouraged to remember that you and I, as Christians, we're called to live, to walk by faith. And this is what we do, knowing that God will bless us in the end, as He blesses us even while we live here in this life. God bless you, and thank you for your time.